people that seek greatness, and we know that you are greatness. We know that there are just great possibilities. There are unlimited potential. There is so much yet for us to see. And God, we pray that you would order our steps and that you would give us the strength, that you would, Lord, show us the way that you would have us to go. Again, Lord, we know that nothing is impossible for them that believe. And Lord, we state by affirmation, I believe. Our faith says it is so. God, we bless your name today and pray certainly that, Lord, what we learn today will change how we live. And we are excited, Lord, about what will happen when others join us and when we lift up and magnify your name together. What a mighty God we serve. What an awesome God. David declared that the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall have no want in this life. He takes care of me. He knows what I need. He knows where I ought to be. He knows how to get me there and won't let anything stop me. He puts a hedge round about me. And so, God, we just thank you for that. And again, Lord, we ask that you would forgive us of our sins and have mercy on us. And God, we know that when we learn a little bit more today, we're going to live a little better. And so, God, this is our prayer. This is our faith. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's go to the book of Deuteronomy, the Old Testament of the Bible. Now, again, we were talking at length about the credibility that's necessary for us to carry out the Father's work. And that when people believe us, when they believe us, that's going to make all the difference in the world. And we've got to first believe him. And so what we are doing now is building our faith. We are building our integrity with God. You have a job site and you work and they give you an ID. That proves you work there. You have a clearance that proves you are qualified for higher living or higher learning or, you know, secret or top secret, or you can go into an area that everybody's not authorized to go into. You've earned that. And so when you are presented with an opportunity or a challenge, you can show what you are. You can show your ID and it's, oh, okay, go ahead. They know that you know. And so it is in the body of Christ. We don't really get an ID card. We don't really get any credentials, but our words, our presence, the confidence we have in Christ. Again, I said this to you before. You probably shouldn't say, I can do all things if you ain't going to do nothing. You probably shouldn't say that. You shouldn't walk around saying, well, I can do all things through Christ. And then somebody said, well, what do? You say, what do you mean what I do? You say, well, you just said you can do all things. And you start, you start, well, I go to church. Well, that's not really a big deal. You're going to have to go a little deeper than that. And that's what people are looking for. Jesus reminds us that when they challenge him, he said, go back and tell them what you saw. Now, how many of us can say that? When people look at us as Christians, how many of us could just use that? Just go back and tell them what you saw. Because if we tell them that and they go back and tell, they're probably not going to give us much credit as being a good Christian. Now, again, some of us know how to do the work. Some of us know how to labor in the light of the Lord. Some of us know how to minister. And as I said to you a long time ago, I hope you wrote it down. According to the scripture, all of us are ministers. That's our calling. That's our baseline calling, to minister. Care ye one for another. That's a ministry. To give a cool drink of water. That's a ministry. To pray for persons. That's a ministry. To visit the sick. That's a ministry. To care for orphans and widows. That's a ministry. So to do a ministry, you must be a minister. Same thing on the job. If you go to a job, they have a person called the administrator. It's because they administer to. And so it is in the body of Christ. All of us need to understand that when we talk about callings, when we talk about vocation, when we talk about election, when we talk about being chosen, you are called to a higher standard of life because you're a minister. And I say this all the time. Why try to be average? Why try to dwell in mediocrity? Nobody likes mediocrity. Nobody likes average. Well, y'all ain't saying nothing. Maybe y'all do. I don't. I don't want average. I don't want mediocrity. I want something that stands out. How many of you ever ride around during Christmas and there's always that house? There's always that house that everybody go to see because why? It stands out. And after you see that one, everybody else stuff look kind of sad, don't it? And the guy that lived next door to him who ain't got nothing but a snowman in the yard, he said, man, that guy probably ought to move. Because once you have seen something spectacular, and then you look and say, wow, that's great. Same thing happens in your life. If you're not outstanding, you start to look kind of dull. You know, and so it is that we should strive, here's what the Bible tells us, for the more excellent things. Seek the more excellent, desire the more excellent gifts. All you got to do is ask for it. And so part of what we're trying to do is build credibility so that when we go and minister, people won't count us as a fraud. They're going to challenge you. And remember what I told you, you're going to be confronted. Get used to that. You're going to have challenges. Expect that. You'll have critics. Enjoy that. Because those are the things that really are going to make you sharpen your skills. It's going to make you work on your gift. Again, how many of us can admit that there have been times when we know we didn't do our best? And somebody came along and said, oh, that's so wonderful. You thought to yourself, they lying. No, it ain't. And so we have to remember that this is what God requires. And that's the key to the lesson. The key to all of it is to just know this is what the Lord requires. This is not some pastor's edict. This is not another move in the Constitution, the bylaws of a church. This is what God wants from you, from all of us. And again, think about it. I've said this before. What do you think our church is really going to look like when everybody understands their assignment? Everybody operates in the anointing. Everybody understands the authority. Everybody understands how much power they really have. Again, if you're going to say, I can do all things, then you ought to be trying to do something. You shouldn't still be in the primary elementary phases of your relationship with God as old as we are. We're not babies, and man, we ought to be handling this thing. I know when I was growing up, some of my young friends and I used to sit in the back of the church when we were growing up. We used to say this all the time. Man, we can't wait. We take over the church. Y'all didn't think like that? See, y'all, Donna did. Hey, we sit right there and say, man, when I get to be a chief deacon, when I take brother so-and-so place, man, we had strategic meetings back there. We said, man, the church going to be on fire, man. We're going to do it. We want it to do it. If you don't dream like that, you're cheating yourself. I mean, how many on your job, how many of you that have jobs, a lot of y'all retired, but even when you work, how many of you have not wanted to be the supervisor? You know, Jasmine, one of these days, me and you going to have a long talk. You just don't want nothing. That ain't true. Okay. Easy now, hold on, we're still in church. Rewind that, cut that part out. You know, but you didn't want to be the supervisor, you didn't want to be in charge. I did. I told y'all, I used to sit in the back of church, hope my pastor got sick so I could preach. Everything I've done, I want to be the guy. I want, you know, and you got to think like that. Why? Because God says, if you want it, I'll give it to you. I just took him at his word. Let's try this one. How many of you are willing to take God at his word? All right then. So you got to want something. All right, here's the scripture for you. God said, you're the head and not the tail. What do you think that means? That means you're running things. That means you're supposed to be out front. That's what God said. God said, I know the plans I have for you. They're to prosper you and to do you well. That ought to mean something. See, when you read that kind of stuff, you ought to have a little something happen. Your fingers ought to start tingling, or you ought to have little hairs on the back of your neck roll up or something. Because God just said something to me. When God says to you that no weapon formed against you shall prosper, man, that ought to let you know, hey, I got this. I ain't scared of them no more. How many of y'all ever ran home from a fight? Yeah. How many of you, somebody told you, say, I'm going to get you, and that changed everything. That changed your whole day because you don't want to get got. Thank God Miss Scott ain't here. You can't say get got with Miss Scott around. You know, but you don't want to be defeated. You don't want to be a loser. Those of us who watch sports and athletics and stuff like that, don't you feel some kind of way when your team lose and you're not even playing? Because it matters to be a winner. And in the body of Christ, we have got to change the way we live by changing the way we think. You were designed by God to change the world. I'll give it to Creflo Dollar down there in Atlanta. That's their ministry icon. World changers. That's what they call themselves. And they're right to do so. We're right to think that way. Why? We read the same Bible they do. We serve the same God they serve. Y'all quiet. You were designed by God to be the head. You can go into a place, and I said this when I first came here years ago, that when you walk into any place, you bring the essence of God. You bring presence. And wherever the presence of the Lord is, there's power. There's promise. There's possibility. When they sent for Jesus, and Jairus' daughter was in a bad way, they knew that if Jesus just showed up, what did Martha and Mary say to Jesus when Lazarus died? Lord, if you had been here. That's all it took. Lord, if you had been. Why? Because they knew that when Jesus was there, anything could happen. They said, Lord, if you had been here, our brother would not have died. They didn't say he would have got better. They said he wouldn't have died. Whatever that required, you would have did it. Lord, if you had been. And that's how you got to think. Here's why. Because he told you from his word that he would never leave you and he won't forsake you. So you're carrying God around with you every day of your life and you ain't doing nothing with that? You ain't trying to change nothing? You scared to go into somebody's sick room? You scared to confront people? You scared to witness? You carrying the power of God. It's just like when I was a trooper. We carried guns and a shotgun. We had weapons. So, you know, you don't go in thinking like Barney Fife. How many of y'all remember seeing Barney Fife? Every time he was in trouble, he couldn't even get the bullet in the gun. He couldn't get it out. Sometimes he couldn't get out of his pocket. Sometimes he dropped the fool gun. And we don't go out like that. We come in hot. You're equipped. How many of you have a car with a spare tire and a jack? Yeah. How many of you checked it lately to make sure it's back there? One, two, three. Yeah, you do know that if you need to use it and it ain't available, it's like not happening. How many of you ever ride around with a little low fuel light on? Why? Because you got a sense of trust. You say, well, I know how much in there. I can make it until you run out. And then you say, something wrong with that thing. It ain't right. That thing don't usually do that. But let me tell you something. You ought to be ashamed of yourself carrying all that power with you and won't do nothing. God wasn't lying to you. When God told you, I will make you, he meant that. He didn't say, I'm going to think about it. You know God is not limited. Your distrust of God doesn't make him less God. It just makes you less you. You cheating yourself. How many of you ever had that happen to you? Realize that you cheated yourself. Felt kind of silly, didn't you? You said to yourself, I ain't going to do that no more, didn't you? Yeah, you should have said that. But how many of you did it again anyway? There you go. Come on around. Thank you. Here's what I'm trying to tell you. You have been told by God that if you follow him, you got it. You've been told by God on more than one occasion that you can trust me. Discipleship life is established. It is entrenched. It is enriched. It is enhanced. Y'all getting them E's? Y'all don't write this stuff down. Y'all need to write this stuff down. I see what's happening here. Y'all don't write this stuff down. That's why y'all get outside. What he said? Y'all so enamored with my flow, y'all forget. Write this down. All of this is because of the word of God. And you trust him. You got to trust him. You got to say to yourself every day, not why not me, but why not me? tell you what the secret element is? Faith. You just got to believe in it. You got to be able to say to yourself, faith, trust. You got to be able to say to yourself, God, I take that. Now, God, put me to work. Put me to work. And I like Brother Butterfield. I heard you. Motivation is a good one. But you got to have that faith thing. You got to have, you cannot operate in the supernatural without faith. You're going to have to, you can't keep waiting on folk to come alongside and see it for you or see it with you. There are some things that God shows you exclusively. Because you happen to be the one that trusts him at that time. Remember when Elijah was standing on the front porch and his manservant Gehazi come to him and said, Lord, we in trouble, master. We about to be overwhelmed. And Elijah said, Lord, let him see. Elijah saw the great army. His servant didn't. He panicked. And so for his comfort, Elijah said, Lord, let him see. And boy, when he saw, he was like, man, we good. How many know when you see, you good? But how many know that you got to learn how to walk by faith and not by sight? How many of you in here right now can testify that God has done things in your life that you never saw it coming? Amen? Amen? And we'll do that again if you trust him. How about this? How many times have you heard people say this? I just don't see it. I just don't see how that's going. I don't know. When pigs fly, watch out, get you some wings then. Better go on to the airport because there's one, two going to be landing. I trust God more than I trust any man. Some of us sitting in this room right now are under what could be officially declared miracle status. People wrote you off, said you wasn't, said you ain't. You come from the wrong family, you're too strung out now. You ain't got no money. You ain't got the right education. And look at you anyhow. God operates like God, not like people. And all that God is doing is set for his disciples. It's for the disciple, for the believer. That's the key component. How many of you watch commercials on TV? Yeah. And some of them commercials come on, and you got to make a choice, don't you? You got to make a choice as to whether you're going to believe it or you're going to say, that's crazy. Ain't no way anywhere. You know, y'all remember, what was the guy? Billy Thomas, Billy something. The OxyClean man. He told you it'd get everything clean. They put jelly on stuff. Man, you could have made a sandwich out of that. You know, that's how I used to be thinking. You know, where's a good sandwich meat? Mustard, and they put stuff all over, and then they put that out. And old Billy, I think his name was Thompson or something. And boy, he's Billy Mays, that's him. And he yelling and screaming, you know, he spread with, and you sitting there going, I've been buying Gain all my life. This man want me to try OxyClean. I don't know. And you watch, but you got to take a chance. It's kind of by faith. You say, well, I'm going to go for it. Alka-Seltzer commercial. Coke versus Pepsi. All of it is generated by what you say, I'm going to give it a try or I'm not. And the faith that you have in Christ should be far greater than anything you put in a man. You are called by God. We've talked about this before. Nobody likes to be rejected. Nobody likes to be left out. Well, you ain't got to worry about that with God. He's no respecter of persons. Every one of you are critically acclaimed in the eyes of God. Every one of you got an Oscar, an Emmy, a Tony. You don't have to worry about not getting anything. What you got to worry about is not doing anything with what you got. That's the key. Listen, I've said this before, and I've got to pray our church forget it. We spend too much time whining and frustrating ourselves about what we can't do. That's not the issue. The issue is we're not using what we got. God is already, you are thoroughly equipped That's what the Bible says. Okay, y'all ain't read that. I know you heard it because I said it. You are thoroughly equipped unto every... What does thoroughly equipped mean? We got this. We got this. How many of you have ever gone on vacation? I know you have. Just about everybody probably have. What's one of the key components to going on a good vacation? Packing. Packing is the key to a good vacation. Now, some of y'all don't know how to pack. You put too much stuff in the bag, unnecessary stuff, and then you get to the airport, and they weigh it, and they say, oh, you got to pay for that. And you say, well, I don't understand it. Well, it weighs more than 50 pounds. And let me tell you something right now. Me and Brother Thomas was in the military. You don't need to carry more than 25 pounds of nothing, no way. Our rucksack, when probably weighed 26 pounds. And it had everything we needed to go wherever we went in the world. 26 pounds. Now, if you carry all your stuff, it's going to be more than 26 pounds. But they told you, you know, you basically carry your little meal kit, some socks, T-shirts, some dry, because you're going to get wet, and a couple of pepper teas and stuff, you know, your little sleeping roll, 26 pounds. Now, we can fight a war all over the world with 26 pounds. Why are y'all carrying a 60-pound suitcase to go to where? Wherever. Anywhere you go in this country, there's probably a Walmart. So anything that you might need, all you gotta do is run down to Walmart and don't buy the big one, get a small one, get a little, you know. Every one of us need to learn how to pack. Really do. You gotta learn how to pack. Now, again, if you're going somewhere, you gotta know what you're gonna need. Now, if you're going on vacation in the middle of winter and say you're going to Alaska, you don't need Bermuda shorts. You don't need flip-flops. You don't need no sleeveless shirts. You need to think about wintertime and how cold it is where you're going. You got to know where you're going to know how to pack. Y'all saw that setup come right along through? You don't want to be going this way and pack like you was going that way. And so you have to have a little bit of insight. That's why we ask God things. Bring it insight. Lord, show me. I told y'all a long time ago, every day of your life, when you get up in the morning, you ought to have a little talk with the Lord about pretty much how you're going to operate today. Lord, what would you have me do today? You can't be too busy for God. The earth is the Lord, the fullness thereof, they that dwell therein. You can't be too busy for God. I know, God know where you work at. Let me tell you that again. I think I told you all this before. God know everything about you. Stop thinking God don't know what your hours at work are or what time you got to be in class or how many kids you got. God know all of that. Some of it you asked for. Some of it you didn't. But ain't nothing. God ain't going, oh, I forgot you got to go in tomorrow. Oh, ain't no need me asking you to do no evangelism. Ain't no need me. Ain't no need me asking you to tithe. I forgot you just bought a new car. You really think God don't know everything about you? So stop acting like God don't know stuff and stop using that as an excuse not to do his stuff. You shouldn't be fitting God into your life. You should be fitting your life into God. See how quiet everybody get when I say stuff like that? Because the reality is, you can't do nothing without him. If God was truly fair, he'd have fired you a long time ago. As would your employer. Come on, let's be honest with ourselves. What can we ask of God that he don't already know about? And sometimes we spend a whole lot of time whining and complaining, trying to inform God about what he already knows. Lord, these people got me coming in all these crazy hours. Lord, these people on my job don't respect me. God know all that stuff. What God want to know is, how are you going to represent me in that? Let me show you something. When God calls people, if you read your Bible, when God called people like Noah, God calls Abram, who became Abraham. God calls Joseph. God didn't really call them out of what they were. He called them to David will be known for the rest of his life as a shepherd. God just wanted to make him a God shepherd. That's why, you know, people are like, well, I ain't going to quit my job. Just be going. God asked you to quit your job. God asked you to quit. What God is saying is, I'll make you a better J. Crew employee. I'll make you a better Central Health employee. I'll make you a better school teacher. I'll make you a better. And that's all God's trying to do. Your problem is you're so selfish and so internally minded that you think God's trying to take something from you when all God's trying to do is take what you got and make it better. I can't be. Yes, you can. You just won't. Think about it. If you go right back, let's go back to high school. Most of y'all left high school. Some of y'all had jobs in high school. I don't know. I don't know if you're still doing that same job. If not, you got a lot of time. That's good. You can retire soon. But think about when you left high school, how many things were right in front of you? All is possible. And think about how every day God has kept one promise on top of another and really hadn't asked you to give up nothing. I said a long time ago, we're not going to ever be a missionary church. We're not going to ask anybody to quit and move to Zimbabwe to feed the poor little people or nothing like that. Because y'all would cuss me out. Reverend, you done lost your mind. You think, I'm going to, I need my job. Okay. That's why we've come to realize that we are very poor in volunteerism. Because we got too much to do. But who gave you all that stuff? How do you let what God gave you complicate you giving something back to God? I don't get that. I quit two jobs because the Lord told me to. Walked away, didn't get nothing out of none of them. Because he said to them. You know why? Because I trusted him. Lord told me to lead him on. I had 15 years on the promotion list. Addison will tell you, that's good to be right there. That's coasted on in from right there. You make E8, you coasted on in. And God said, leave. And I heard the clock ticking. You do know when you say no, that's just disobedience. You don't get to negotiate. You know, we spend too much time trying to negotiate terms with God when in fact the best terms are his. You will never come up with better terms than saying yes to God. Never. Look how quiet everybody gets. But some of y'all think, I never quit my job. Not once, but twice. God said, all right, that's enough of that. Now leave that too. That's okay. See, the second time in faith is easy. Because the first time you don't do it, it gets harder. First time you do it, it's hard. And then the next time you say, well, I did this. I've been down that road. Yeah, I know God going to do this. And can I tell you something? He doesn't have to do it my way. Oh, don't think I didn't give him some options. I said, now, Lord, look here, here's what we need to do. And he didn't even laugh at me. He just turned and walked the other way. You better come on. You cannot keep cheating yourself and then be frustrated at the fact that your faith ain't growing or that God ain't using you. God wants to use all of us. There's plenty of work for all of us to do. The harvest is plentiful, but the labor's a few. That's every day. That's every day. And so what happens to us is, again, we're trying to lend ourselves to credibility, but we're discrediting ourselves by simply not doing what God told us to do. All right, let's look at Deuteronomy. Chapter 4 is where I told you to go. Amen. Are you there? You should have been a long time ago. What did you say, Jeff? Oh, I was thinking some things. Just wasn't going to say it because I love Miss Woodson and I wouldn't want her to go, ooh. She need all her air to be regulated. She don't need no, ooh. All right, here's what he says. Verse 35. He showed you these things so you would realize that the Lord is God and that there is no other God. He let you hear his voice from heaven so he could instruct you. He let you see his great fire here on earth so he could speak to you from it, because he loved your ancestors. He chose to bless their descendants and personally, isn't that something? God always does things personally. Brought you out of Egypt with a great display of power. He drove out nations far greater than you. No, why? So he showed you he bad to the bone. So he could bring you in and give you their land as a special possession. So remember this and keep it firmly in mind. The Lord is God. Watch this. Both in heaven and on earth. You know, let me tell you something. Well, let me tell you what. It amazes me how people shout about God being in heaven, but are so stubborn about him working on earth. Praise God in heaven. Oh, the Lord is sitting on his throne. Oh, the Lord is in his... No, no. He's God both in heaven and on earth. I'm going to say it again. You got a real... I just pray God to hear me from heaven. God is God both in heaven and on earth. Same power. God doesn't come to earth like who that is, lose their power. Superman. Because kryptonite, he getting on a little kryptonite. He worse than Clark Kent. At least it's Clark Kent. He can do a little, he can do a little something. But God ain't like that. God ain't never been limited. And you need to stop thinking like that. Oh, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing. How about when we come to church, what a day of rejoicing. How about when we come to prayer meeting? How about when we start? Let's just remember, he is God. And he's tough. He can handle it. He got it. He said, and God's been showing y'all some stuff. You just need to open your eyes. Moses said he drove out people greater than you so you would know God is in charge. God is sovereign. Don't ever forget that. Ain't nobody bigger than God. Nobody. Your bills ain't gonna never be bigger than God. Your boss ain't bigger than God. Your husband ain't bigger than God. Your wife ain't bigger than God. Nobody's bigger than God. Nobody can do what God can do. I don't care how bad they talk. I don't care how tough they think they are. I'll never forget when I was coming up and told my dad I was gonna be a preacher. And he didn't agree with me. He didn't agree with me. He said, boy, okay, you go ahead with that. My wife and I, when we got ready to leave the military, and I went home and told my dad I was leaving the army and going to take my little church, and he said, how much they going to pay you? My father was about money. He, you know, money mattered to him. And I told him, he said, you done lost your mind. So you're going to run behind this foolishness and ain't going to be able to feed your family. And he said a lot of things. But I trusted God. Oh, he told me, don't call me when you can't pay your bills. Don't call me. You're going to run behind that church foolishness. That's what he called it. It hurt my feeling. I felt some kind of way about it because I really thought he'd be proud. But I trust God. And I told God that day, on my way back, we had to drive back from Florida. We spent a few days in his house, you know, eating his food and all that kind of stuff. And on my way home, I asked God to make me one promise. Please, Lord, don't let me have to ask that man for nothing. I'm serious. Now, see, y'all may not be that honest, but I'm driving, and my wife and kids in the car, and I said, God, just do me one favor. Make me one promise. I don't know how this thing going to turn out. Because the math was bad. The math was bad. I knew that. But God do math different. I'm serious. The math was bad. It was bad math. But I know God do math different. Because God can take a few and do a whole lot and make a whole lot go home. Y'all know Gideon's story, right? Okay. And so that I said, God, just make me one promise. Don't let me have to ask him for nothing. Now, notice I didn't cut everybody else off. There's some other people I probably would have asked. But, you know. But I said, I ain't going to ask him. I didn't say I wasn't going to ask my uncle or somebody. No, I'm just kidding. But you understand what I'm saying. God is God everywhere. And because God has made you a perpetual promise that he'll never leave you, you will be with God all the way. All the way. There's not going to be another day in your life as long as you accept him as Lord and Savior and you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that you'll be alone. People are going to come and go out of your life. Let them. Let me give you a little insight on something. Don't you ever waste your breath begging folk to stay in your life. Let them go. They won't leave. Let them go. Tell them bye. Now they might look back and think, oh, so it's like, yeah, bye. Because I wasn't alone when you met me. If you're a woman and you ever want to hurt a dude feeling and he getting ready, you tell me this. I've been seeing another man all the time anyway. Because you tell him that. And he said, what? Say, his name is Jesus. Oh, he'll get it. But you know, use that line just so you can shock him a little bit. Tell him, oh, I've been seeing another man all the time anyway. And he turned around, you tell him his name Jesus, not Jesus. So he can get, but you know, you can use that if you got it like that. Now, fellas, I got one for you too, but it's a little stretch to it. But the point of the matter is this. This is what Moses wants. Let me tell you why I picked this. I wanted you to understand something. Don't think God didn't show up to the New Testament. Some of you modern day Christians act like Jesus didn't show up until we start hearing that Elizabeth and Mary story. God been around forever. And he said he ain't going nowhere. Yes, I would do my, and I'm telling you, I ain't going nowhere song right now, but I'll sing it for later. I'm going to need it for later. You have a God who said, I'm going to show you some stuff. Why do you think God's trying to show you stuff? Why do you think God shows you stuff? To build your confidence. To make you a collaborator. To show you that there is no other God like him, so you'll commit to him. Yeah. How many of you have ever want to change teams because you noticed the other team was doing better? That's what God is doing. God said, okay, now you see how they work it? Now watch how I work it. God told the children of Israel, you see how Pharaoh work it? Watch how I work it. Pharaoh said, he ain't going to give y'all no straw to make bricks. Watch me make bricks, better bricks without straw. Pharaoh said he's going to cut y'all rations. Watch me make y'all still gain weight on eating less. That's God. And why does he do that? So you will trust him. Well, y'all sure looking rather strange. I thought y'all would get excited about this. He said, I'm showing you stuff. So when you remember what I showed you and you tell your children, let me tell you something. You want your children to love God like you love God, show them how much you love God. You want your children to grow up and trust the Lord, show them how much you stop whining and complaining and throwing a hissy fit every time something don't go your way. Stand strong in the Lord and your children will stand strong too. I'm telling you that. My pastor Jeffrey Reeves told me that when we were in our little time struggling, trying to get that little church thing to work. He said, Doc, whatever you do, don't let your kids see you doubt God. He said, because Doc, they're going to remember these days. And they do. Sometimes my sons, we'll sit around talking, say, man, Dad, I remember. And I thought they wasn't paying a whole lot of attention, but I know they was because they like me. They like to see stuff. But the fact of the matter is, you wonder why we losing young people? Because we lost grown people. We lost mamas and daddies. And now these generations of children who are coming up who don't want to go to church, who don't love God, who don't think it is a God, that's the parents' fault and the grandparents' fault. Because they didn't have the kind of grandparents like I had. Now, I told y'all, most of the men in my family were pretty much off the mark. But grandma's hands, as Bill Withers says. I feared them old ladies. They made me think that God was right around the corner with a big stick in his hand and going to bust me in the head if I don't go to church Sunday. They made me believe that God would torment me. You know, whenever you had a bad dream, they'd always say stuff like, ain't nothing but the devil getting you. If you had the Lord on your side, the devil leave you alone. They made me realize I need some help because I had a lot of nightmares growing up. God help me. They said I was too busy during the day. But I realized, Grandma told me one time, she said, you ever want to get that thing off your back, just call Jesus. And let me tell you something. I started doing that, man, I slept a whole lot better. I still use that today. I don't know about y'all, but every now and then, I have night terrors. Because, you know, if your mind get real active, you'll have night terrors. It's just psychologically known. But my point is, God said, I'm showing y'all stuff. How can y'all forget this? He said, and when you sit at your table, tell your children about it. Amen. Talk about these things. My question is to some of y'all, what do y'all talk about when you're home? How much God time do you use at home? How many times do you open your little notebook at home and say, you know, Pastor said something the other day, I think we ought to talk about this. Instead of beating me down, how about building him up? You go there preaching stuff. Yeah. You know why? He's showing me God. I still love my pastor. Still respect him. And the fact of the matter is, God is saying, listen, I'm showing y'all some stuff. He said, and what I'm showing you is so that you would be convinced, so that you would have courage, so you would be a collaborator, so you would commit, because ain't nobody else like him. And you need to know that too. Your job ain't going to save you. Your good looks ain't going to deliver you. Your money ain't going to get you out of everything. Because sometimes what you in is going to be a whole lot more than what you can pay. But God got it. He said, I'll show you a way of escape. See? And the only way you're going to know that is to know him. That's why it always bothers me. It really bothers me when people do not respond to God in rejoicing and don't give God praise and don't give God adoration after all God done for us. Good has God been, my aunt used to say that all the time. Good has he been? Ain't a person in this room that God ain't been good to. And your amen don't reflect that. Your service to him ought to reflect that. How you show up ought to reflect that. When I was in high school, we had two lunch periods, because our school was pretty big. Some of y'all wouldn't know how to act in school down in Florida because there's too many people. Y'all would get lost. Y'all got, what, two high schools here? We got like 35, 40 of them. And my graduating class was 385 people. How big was your graduating class? You remember? 600 something? How many schools that were? That's with all y'all in one place, see? Mm-hmm. But see, we got schools everywhere. And you, some of your neighbors, where I grew up at, if you live on Gilmore Circle and your friend lived on Winston Ridge, they wind up going to a different school. They had to figure out a way to not let all us go. And so my point is this, they had two lunches. But I knew something. I figured out something. The best food is in the first lunch. Oh, yeah. So you know what I did? Went to both. And I'll tell you how I did it. I would skip my class early enough. I spent about 20 minutes in the lunchroom. Then I go on to class. I had friends who worked in the office who would write me a pass. Now, you sitting there shaking your head. Sorry for you, I had two lunches. And so I wanted the best stuff, especially on pizza day. When I went to school, pizza was real. They had real meat and real cheese, and it was about that high. And them ladies cut it in big squares. I'm talking about real pizza. Didn't they, honey? They had real pizza. And one pizza day today, that if it's going to be a fight, in the lunchroom, it's going to be on pizza day. You know why? Because folk like pizza day. And so I went to both lunches because I wanted the best. I wanted the first stuff. Here's what kicks me in the head. How can church folk not want the best stuff? And why not fight for it? Why not do a little something to get? I manipulated things to get the best stuff. You know why? Because they give out the best stuff first. That's how God is. You got a first level God. God don't give no leftovers. Here's what's wonderful about God.
Even if you end up in second lunch, you still get first stuff. What a mighty God we serve. Told y'all folks, stop singing lies and live truth. If you're going to sing what a mighty God, live like you serve a mighty God. God trying to show y'all stuff. God's showing you stuff every day, and you so self-centered and so silly, you don't even want to look at it. I don't know. It's just how it's going to be. The devil is a liar. That's why I don't still live in my mama's house. That's why I ain't still living in the first house I bought. That's why I ain't still driving the first car I thought was bad to the bone. One of the first cars I bought, I thought it was bad to the bone, and I done bought a whole lot after that. You know why? Because I keep trusting God for something better. Amen. That's why I got more than one child. First one came, I said, we can do this again. If this one like that, let's get one more. And then let's get, no, that ain't how that works. That was out of my control. All I know is Miss Mitchell said, well, here we go. I said, okay. But my point is, God trying to show y'all stuff, and y'all sitting around like God ain't doing nothing. Every moment of your life, God is showing you his credibility. He woke you up this morning. You didn't wake yourself up. You can put your trust in an alarm clock all you want. There's going to come a day that alarm clock going to be ringing, and you ain't going to be there to turn it off. You can trust in your little diet. You can go on over there to Planet Fitness all you want. You can run all the miles. You can drink all that water. You can eat all them broccoli spears. And there's going to come a day when ain't none of that going to make no difference. The Lord is your health. The Lord is your wealth. Some of us sitting around here right now, you done wandered off and left me. But God's showing you something. And all God is saying to you is, trust me. Look at my record. Everything is based on what? History. A record. All y'all got a record. How many of y'all ever went down to get something and they tell you what your credit score was? And you said to yourself, what? No. Hold on. How many of y'all ever, let me tell you something. This free pastoral service announcement, PSA. Please. At least once a year, get a copy of your credit report. Please. At least once a year, get a copy of your credit report. Because you have no idea if you don't look. And don't wait till you go to buy something and they tell you, I'm sorry, we ain't going to be able to help you. You say, why? I work every day. I pay my bills. This well, back in 1977. Oh, yeah, some stuff on it. Now, legally, they claim 7 years and all that kind of stuff. But please know this. History is why we know stuff. What God is saying in Deuteronomy is, I'm showing y'all some stuff. I done this before. I know you're not supposed to say I done, but I felt it like that. I know Pat's cringing and Miss Anderson and all y'all educated people. I don't care about y'all. I'm doing this. God is saying to you, Moses is saying to the people, look at what God has been doing. And what makes you think he don't want to keep? You know God loved to get attention. He said himself, he said, I'm a jealous God. I don't want nobody else getting credit for what I do. That's why the songwriter was absolutely correct when he said, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side. He said, don't get credit nobody else. Some of y'all talking about, it wasn't for my mama, it wasn't for my Uncle Joe. No, they need to know the same thing you ought to be knowing. If it had not been the Lord. I ain't getting enough thank you, Lord, right along through that. Let me tell you, listen to what he said. Deuteronomy 4, watch what he says. Verse 39. So remember this and keep it firmly in mind. See, some of y'all got amnesia. That's what's wrong with church. Some of y'all got amnesia. And my English teacher, not English teacher, I'm sorry. My history teacher, you said some of y'all got dumbnesia. Y'all like y'all can't remember. He said, you better remember this. That's what it means when it says, Whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are noble, think on these. You better remember. And you need to stop taking credit for stuff you ain't got no control over. Give the Lord his due. I'll be a whole lot more thank you, Lord, around here. Thank you, Jesus. Whatever you want to say. But he ought to be getting more credit around here than you bragging and boasting about I went to this and I'm laude cum laude. You ain't nobody. Amen. God is the smartest person you're going to ever meet. Amen. 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 You ain't that smart. And you and I both know that most of us are living well beyond our knowledge base. If somebody hadn't filled out that paper, you'd have never got that money. If somebody hadn't gave you that grant, you'd have never gone to college. Come on, talk to me. Our problem is we keep forgetting. And if you can't remember, how your children going to remember? How you going to sit and talk about these things when you come in and go out if you act like you don't remember? When somebody, next time somebody thank you, you tell them, no, thank God. See how many amens I didn't get right there. I got a few. But next time, instead of you say, oh, yeah, no, don't worry about it. Tell them, no, thank God. Right. Tell them, say, the Lord just used me. That's all you got to tell them, the Lord just used me. I sure appreciate you came through in the pinch. No, the Lord just used me. I'm on assignment. I told you, you are ministers, and ministers are required to minister. So when you give a cool drink of water, you just ministered. When you help the orphans and widows, you just ministered. When you go by the hospital, you just don't take credit for what you didn't do. Just say, Lord, use me. Child, if you hadn't helped me, I don't know what I would have done. Honey, look at here. The Lord just used me. See, you might even stir up a little conversation right along through that. Somebody said, what you mean? Well, baby, listen, I ain't bring nothing in this game. Everything I got, God gave it to me. This ain't my money, this is God's money. When you steal from me, you're stealing from God. My grandma told us that. We left her piggy bank long after that. We just hit that thing pretty good. Grandma said, you stealing from me. You stealing from God. Hey, honey, how you doing? I know you thought I was going to make a big deal about you coming in, but you ain't all that. I knew you'd be back eventually, but there wasn't going to be no party or nothing like that. You coming in all shiny and stuff. There ain't going to be no party. You could have put on a whole rucksack and been fine. Good to see you. But you got to understand something. You got to remember, how are you going to ever relate to people what you don't remember? Amen. That's what Jacob did. Most critical time in Jacob's life, things starting to work out a little bit, sit down. Jacob stops and says, surely the Lord is in this place. Yes. Jacob thought Esau was going to kill him. He said, man, this is going to be bad. He didn't want his family to see him get killed. He said, look, you take my family on over. Lord have mercy. It'll come to me. Hold on. Just like Miss Sophia. Get my children out of here. Get them out. She didn't want them to see. She knew what was going to happen. That's how Jacob felt. Jacob said, I can't let my wife see me go down like that. I've been talking all that trash about how bad I am. Get my folk out of here. Because he knew in his own thinking. But again, how many know you don't know what God knows? You can't see whose heart God has touched in your favor even when you don't deserve it. That's why grandma and them was right when they say stuff like, I could have been dead, because some of us have done that which is worthy of death, but God touched somebody's heart. That's why that judge didn't give you but 6 months and suspended all six, because God touched his heart. It ain't that you wasn't guilty. It ain't that you ain't a liar and a rascal and a thief and a whoremonger and a fornicator. God just keep touching people's heart. That's why I preach like I do. Because I know I ain't got all that right. That's why I don't let y'all follow me nowhere. I don't let y'all come to my house. But I know God keeps touching people's heart. I'm telling you now, I'll never will forget. That's why our testimonies lost their power, because we start thinking we did it. Go roll the calendar back. Roll the calendar back. Back in the day when Vicky was young and Sister Davis and some of us, when people testified, all you heard was God did it. I don't know how the Lord did that thing, but now, we have become so forgetful and so dumbnesia, we don't even do testimony anymore. Ain't none of y'all business. Yes, it is our business. We need to know that God stuff is still meaningful to us. That folks sit up in church, poor deacon up there begging, can I get one? Is there another? We ought to be knocking each other down. Say, honey, look what God did here. Child, look here. I didn't have this, that, or the other. That doctor told me, but God stepped in. That's all it takes. And the legitimacy of it is you keep saying God did it. You stand there trying, child, I had to do this, and I had to do that. And we waiting on God to get in. You going to tag God in anytime? Child, I went back to school and got my education, and I went down there and straightened them people out. And we don't want to hear that about you. We want to know what God did. Because we know if you did it for you, you ain't going to do it for us. But when God did it for you, he'll do it for us too. Because we can hold him accountable. We can say, you did it for Darlene. And you say you no respect of person. You get her out, I want to come out too. You get a job, you ain't going to get nobody else one. You get out there, you scared to tell us about the job because you think we're going to come take yours. They hiring none of no. No, they ain't hiring. Don't come down there. Okay. But God will send us. God will show you a way that man can't block it. He said, y'all better remember. He said, you remember, keep this in mind. That's why our worship ought to always be off the chain. It's one thing when just me and Jesse in here thinking about the goodness of the Lord. But it's something else when me, Jesse, Lewis, Vicky, Wanda, Jasmine, Pat, Ozilia, Jennifer, Elizabeth. That's where that noise goes up toward heaven. Lord God, children saying thank you. That's how they tore the wall down in Jericho. Not because some of them were singing, but all of them were singing. All of them were lifting up praise. All of them want to see that wall come down. They ain't gonna, hey, he go got us out here walking around. And preachers tell them stories like that sometimes, you know, talking about the people saying stuff. No, they were singing. Joshua said, now look here, when we come around on this last time here, I want everybody to shout. And I just believe God is so particular that if one hard head wouldn't have shouted, that wall wouldn't have moved. Because disobedience is a game changer. Our problem is, we like being disobedient. We think that means something. I ain't going to be the only one. I'm going to show them. All the rest of y'all stand up. I ain't standing up. Okay. But when your household need a change, sit down on that. Next time you're in that doctor's office and they saying, well, I don't know, sit down on that. Don't call him now. No, you didn't want to call him when we said call him because you kept forgetting. Nobody but you, Lord. The only reason any of us still alive is because God said so. Yeah. Because your enemies been waiting on you to get out the way. Don't think you ain't got enemies. But God said, I got you. He said, listen, let me read my last report. I'm done. Time is against me. He said this. He said, keep it in mind, firmly in mind. Watch this. He said, if you obey all the laws, verse 40, if you obey all the laws and commands that I give you today, watch this, all will be well with you, what you say now, and your children. Mm-hmm. Watch this. Then you will enjoy a long life in the land the Lord your God is giving you for all time. We should have never had nothing took from us. We shouldn't have lost 1 acre of our blessedness. You know why we did? Because we got hard-headed. He said, all your life, no, nowhere in our history should we have been in foreclosure and repossessions and pawning off our land. We were hard-headed. Text says we should have had it for all our life, us and our children. It ought to be a legacy. You ought to leave your children something besides bills. Yeah. God has blessed us. Granddaddy told me this. Granddaddy said, son, they ain't building no more land. So that little land we give y'all, don't y'all sell it. They ain't making no more land. He said, they ain't doing that. He said, now y'all can sell junk, but don't ever give up land. And them knucklehead down yonder, all that land that my granddaddy them sweated for and bargained for, just about gone. You'll always have something when you got land. You can build a tent on your land and live. At least you have somewhere to call home. Amen. He said, you and your family, remember me. God is a bargain keeper. See how quiet we are? We're thinking now. How many mistakes we've made. How many times we forgot. What a fool I've been. But don't be a fool no more. Learn better, you'll live better. You and your children. And you got to sit them down and talk to them about God. Don't be afraid to talk about God. You talk about anything else. Well, here's the problem. The Holy Ghost just gave me this. Most of us don't talk enough to our children about nothing. That's why when the police bring them home, we be like, not my child. Yeah, ma'am, it was yours. Most of the time, we don't even know where our children at. And we don't know much about what they're doing because we don't talk to them. We figure, I don't want to get in that. You ought to get into that. I told you before, my wife will tell you as a witness, when I go through drawers. That's my house. I be in pockets. Oh, yeah, they hang up. The kids are smart. They'll hide stuff by hanging up in the closet. No, I go in the closet, go in all the pockets, turn them inside. And I want them to know I've been there, so I leave the pockets out. I ain't scared of them in my house. That's my house. That's how I found out my son was smoking. That's how I found out another one was dipping tobacco. And I put the tobacco on the kitchen table. He came in the house trying to act like he didn't see it. I said, hey, they ain't mine. I know your mama don't use this stuff right here. Y'all don't live with me. I told y'all don't play with me. I told him, I said, say, John, that's my friend. I said, well, I tell you what, you need to get some new friends. So we bought that first. I said, I tell you what, since your friend left this in your coat, I don't know how that worked, but you need you some new friends. All right, so 3 days later, my wife said, honey, I found this. I said, okay. Then I met him in his room. I said, hey, man, what's this? That must be another one, my friend. I know. I said, let me help you with something here. This is how we live. See, I don't smoke. I don't dip tobacco. I said, and my mom and dad didn't have to worry about me bringing contraband in their house. So if they didn't put up with it, I don't think I should have to put up with it. So here's what we're going to do. I got a tent out there in the garage. I'd be more than happy to let you live in that tent. I got an old army cot. See, you got to give my option, but you ain't going to lie to me in my house. Now, if you want to have some bad habits, once you move, you can do anything you want to do. And I ain't going to have nothing to say about that. But even then, when you come to my house, you can't do that. My kid right now got one that smoked. When he come to my house, he had to walk halfway down the driveway and smoke his cigarette. I don't care how cold it is. I don't care if it's raining. I don't smoke. And you ain't going to smoke in my house. And not smoke around my house because it blow in the house. Don't leave your little cigarette butt things right here. Take them down yonder. And in fact, field strip them and take them with you. You know, that's the way to do it. And you just throw it into the air and you won't even know it was there. But I don't have no fear over my children. And God ain't scared of you either. And so when God says something, he mean that. And if you want to live a wonderful life, just do what he said. Can't walk around here talking about obedience is better than sacrifice. Well, where's your sacrifice first? Let me see what you're giving up. Because God gave up everything. He left heaven to come show us that you can do it. Read the Hebrew letter. He said, it's not that we don't have a high priest who understands. He showed us. And our problem is, we're looking right at Jesus and act like we don't see nothing. You cannot be a disciple with a bad memory. You got to remember. You got to think on these things. You got to talk on these things. When you sit down with your children, be the parent. You know, I ain't going to church. Well, don't breathe till I get back. Hold your breath. Excuse me? Well, if you're not going to go to church, you don't want to live. We don't option church here. Oh, we going. And you're going to look like you enjoy it. Y'all remember that rule? You know, and you better act like you enjoying it. So whenever I saw my mama head start turning around, and she said stuff like this. And don't let me look back and you ain't back there. I couldn't even go to the bathroom. I sit in church a lot of Sundays like this. Because she might look back and she meant what she said. My mom and dad had an old school rule. Wherever you show out, I show out. My mama would come back there. She ain't the kind that gave out idle threats. She said, son, if I come back there, it's going to happen. So I didn't want her to come back. My friends were here. So I'd sit there. And they said, we going to the store. See y'all later. You ain't going? No. Now between Sunday school and coming in, I had a chance. Because you run over there as quick as you can. But once they ring that bell and the choir started marching in, I strongly suggest, because see, I was in an AME church. And what they would do is bring the choir into the foyer, the vestibule, and close the door. Notice I said door, because that's what we call it down south, not door. And once the choir comes, ain't nobody else moving but the choir. And they're singing it, we are soldiers. And once, if you didn't make it in by then, and you, now the next time the door is going to open, it's after the prayer. You ain't coming in doing the invocation. You ain't coming in doing the scripture. You ain't coming in doing after the prayer, when they take that little old break, they'll open the doors. And you can push that door. You want that usher, you stand there like this. And you hit that lady 2 minute time, she'll turn around and say, look at here, don't do that no more. That's talking about coming. Ain't one all the way in the church. They had an usher on every door. And your mama say, where were you at when the choir marched in? Because that was the state. That was what she said. When the choir marched in, where were you at? Well, I had gone to the bathroom. Son, you can't pee that much. They always had an answer for you back then. But y'all let y'all children do anything they want to do. And live in your house. Eat your food. No, sir. And I tell you what now, Moses was right. Y'all seem to forget. The Lord did this. He said, don't ever forget that. If you want to live a long life, listen right here. If you want to enjoy a long life in the land your God has given you for all time, remember. I told you, they ain't making no more land. You can't go nowhere God ain't. I'm leaving. That's why when people change churches, I consider that the silliest thing you can do. God is still everywhere. And if you go to a church where the pastor don't read the same book, you might ought to know that's not a church. Well, over there, they don't do that over this church. I'm glad. Well, you ain't doing much churching. Because anything without discipline is reckless. It's waiting for trouble to happen. Amen? So he says, all right, let's remember. And I like this. He says, all the law and commands. Can't pick some. Now, let me tell you what's wonderful, and I'm done. My time is against me. Let me tell you this. All have sinned Everybody head ought to be going like this right now. Yep. Matter of fact, you just ought to go and raise your hand and say, yep, yep, that's me. Yep. Now, see, nine of y'all didn't raise your hand. All have sinned. Ain't nobody perfect. Ain't nobody going to be perfect this afternoon. Ain't nobody going to be perfect tomorrow. But God is faithful. And just to forgive. Y'all don't know how to get happy. See, some folk ain't going to never let you off the hook. You know, you all right until you did that. Well, for God's sake, what did you do? Let me tell you what people like to do. They like to leverage you. Because they know stuff about you, and you just don't know enough about them. They try to make you think they're better than you. No. Remember this one. All have sinned. Now, all haven't done all the sinning, but all have sinned. Now, some people are working on doing all the sins. They're trying to figure out all of them. They say, well, what's one at A? Okay, let's start with that one. But I'm not going down that road. But I will tell you this. God is faithful. And just. And will forgive. And not just forgive some folk. God ain't going to wait till you're old to forgive you. You can't enjoy it as much. God will forgive you the same day. If you got enough sense to say, Lord, I messed that one up. See, some people think because you don't say nothing, God don't know nothing. That ain't how it works. You can pull that off with man. You can do stuff with man, and long you don't say nothing, you think they don't know nothing. But old folk has old people say stuff like this. Every laying dog ain't sleep, and every closed eye ain't, every shut eye ain't, they got all kind of old stuff. In other words, what they're saying is, oh, I know. Y'all ain't never heard none of them stories like that? Old folk telling you, don't play me. And what God is saying is, just tell me. It ain't like I don't know. Let me tell you, the hardest thing to do is to tell somebody something you think they don't know. How many of y'all have ever had something like that happen? And once you told them, say, well, I knew that all along. Don't you just kind of go, shh. And that's what God is saying. God said, you ain't telling me nothing I don't know. When you... fudge a little bit here and white lie a little bit here and stay out a little too late right there and hang out. God know all that stuff. What God is waiting for to see if you'll do what he said. He said, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, I'll save you. And God don't have to save us every Sunday. Now, see, that's another thing. Some of you church folks need to stop thinking you got to come to the altar every Sunday and get saved all over again. No. If you got saved the first time, I'm going to try to help you. When you got saved the first time, that'll do it. But what you need to do is keep the covenant arrangement in good standing. Lord, I didn't have a good day today. I got to tell you. See, that's why in the afternoon, you talk to him three times a day, like Daniel did. In the morning, you talk about what's going on. Then you talk about that noonday stuff. See, when you first wake up in the morning, that's your best you. Now, some of y'all sin in your sleep, but for some of us in the morning, that's our best. That's the best time to talk to God because you ain't got no coffee on your breath yet. You ain't hung up on nobody yet. You ain't mad because you're hugged. You get up in the morning. Before your feet hit the floor, you ought to say, Lord, I thank you. But last night, this bed could have been my cooling board. See, I like the way old people talk to God and say, Lord, I just want to have a pretty good day today. So some of that stuff we talked about last night, God, I'm going to work on that today. See, and so you do. So right about that first hour, that's your most consecrated moment. I'm serious. Y'all, see, some of y'all laughing, but I'm telling you, when you first get up in the morning, that's your best you. You ain't turned on the news yet. Because if you're living like I'm living right now, I can't help but wait to see what that man done next. I get up every day and turn on CNN now. I always watch headlines, but now I'm sitting there saying, okay, here we go. I got popcorn, cherry soda. I'm like, here we go. I knew he was going to do it. Yeah. So that first hour, Jesse, so I get up in the morning early, rise early, and talk to God. Say, Lord, now yesterday, me and so-and-so at the job, put that stuff. God is so wonderful that you can tell him everything. And then go in and try to keep the covenant arranged. You told God you're going to do better. So go in and do better. And then, so then lunchtime come, that's when you can review what you've already done from breakfast to lunch, and then you can plan to go further. You can say, oh, Lord, we made it half a day, and look like things going pretty good, Lord, that thing we talked about. And now, Lord, since I made it the first 4 hours of my shift, I'm going to make my next 4 hours a little better. Uh-huh. So, Lord, hear what I'm going to do. That's how old folk talk. Hear what I'm going to do. And you do that, or you'll be amazed at how your life changes, because you know that you got to meet God in 4 more hours. And then when you get home in the afternoon and you start your little stuff, you can talk to him while you're stirring up that gravy and cleaning them pork chops and pulling that fat off that chicken. You say, Lord, I tell you, we had a pretty good day today. My dinner going to taste a whole lot better. And then at night when everything get quiet and you revert back to your childhood days. And let me tell you, I'm 56. I still, this is my first part of my prayer every night. Now lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord. I'm 56. I put that, that's the first part. Then I get into the details. I say, well, Lord, Sister Mitchell did it to me again. I was doing fine until she came in with all that stuff. You know, and then we talk about the kids, and I talk about y'all. I said, Lord, you know, them folk that you gave me over there on Florida Avenue, one or two things wrong. Either you meant for me to be in Florida and not Florida Avenue, or the wrong people on Florida Avenue. You know, me and God talking. Me and God laugh about y'all. Because some of y'all, I tell God about y'all hair and y'all nails and how y'all spend his money on frivolous things and the tithing is not right. And me and God talk about it. And then I say, well, Lord, I guess I can leave you alone now. I'm sure somebody else won't talk to you. And I feel better because I laugh about the situation. I don't spend a whole lot of time whining to God about stuff that's out of my control. But I am honest with him. And then I sleep pretty good. I get up in the morning, same thing. Lord, I'm going to do better today. See, some of y'all looking at me strange. 3 good conversations with God, going to change your whole life. Sister, if you don't mind, well, if you're too late, I'm going to tell you anyway. Sister Walker sent me a text the other day to refresh what we went over in Bible study. You don't know how that made me feel, like coming back one more time. But one of the things that I told y'all was set your priorities. Every day of your life, give God first billing. Watch what it do to your life. Listen, all that other stuff gonna happen anyway. It ain't like you aren't gonna have to go to work, or you. It ain't like you ain't got crazy people to deal with. It ain't like somebody ain't gonna cut you off in traffic. It's not like you ain't gonna stub your toe. You know, I about cut my finger off this morning. Shaving my old bald head. I got to get used to this thing. But, you know, I was trying to be, you know, and not paying attention, singing in the shower, singing old Fifth Dimension song. And I probably should have been singing the Fifth Dimension song. And let me tell you what I was saying. This is the crazy part. This is what really crazy. Tell them what I was saying, Ms. Mitchell. You ain't forgot because you had a comment. I was singing, Will You Marry Me, Bill? Now, I don't know why that song was in my head. I'm like, will you marry me, Bill? I know I was on it. Kisses and love won't carry me. You got to marry me. And right about then, I hit my finger. I went, oh! You know what I said? That darn Bill. I blame on Bill. Marilyn McCoo didn't get blamed. Billy did. I blame. But my point is this. Okay, y'all, see y'all. Let me tell you something. You got to learn how to enjoy this life. Yeah. And you got to remember, God want to hear from you. Yeah. Grandma was right. Just a little talk with Jesus. Yeah. You can be telling God, thank you while you're doing little stuff. Lord, I sure thank you. You know, when you're sitting there eating them eggs, Lord, I thank you for that old chicken. Lord, I thank you. And see what you'll do, you'll discover the more time you spend in Thanksgiving, the less time you spend whining and complaining. Things still gonna happen. The car, you got in the car ain't gonna start. Yeah. You can get out there and you're low on gas. You still ain't gonna, let me tell you something. You ain't gonna never have as much money as you need. As long as you're living. You know why? Because y'all like to buy stuff.